everyone. This is Molly Douthit.
And David Douthit.
And welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to incorporate multiple intelligences into sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast covers the lectionary selections for Year C, the fourth Sunday in Ordinary Time. I don't know about you, but we had to deal with some weather this week that was anything but ordinary. But while being snowed in meant that we had to spend a lot of energy on shoveling the driveway, it also gave us time to focus our creative energy on the podcast. And we came up with some fun ideas this week. So let's go take a look at them.
We have established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are a lot of different ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week, we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary, and we use these various intelligences, or SMARTs, based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences: word smart, vision smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's theory and his work by clicking the link at the top of our page if you haven't already done so.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. Today we'll be looking at some familiar passages from Jeremiah, Luke, and 1 Corinthians, all with a bit of a prophetic bent. Jeremiah relates his call as God's prophet, and in Luke, Jesus acts as a prophet in his hometown of Nazareth. The psalm sings praise to God for God's sheltering presence. In 1 Corinthians, Paul defines love and how it is to guide disciples' lives. So let's get started.
The Old Testament lesson for Year C, Ordinary 4, comes from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. This is the story of Jeremiah's call to become a prophet for God. He's a little surprised by that because he says, "I'm just a boy." And God says, "Oh, don't say you're just a boy. I'm going to send you out." And he puts his hand on Jeremiah's mouth and says, "I put my words in your mouth," and gives him authority to go out and do what God wants him to do. So we're going to start looking at iSmart. What have you got, David?
Okay, I've got a special effect, and it's based on the idea of prophetic speech, the role of the prophet. And I don't want to give you an answer about what that looks like, because different theological traditions will find different places to live there. But the idea for the special effect is to use a hand puppet to explore the different possibilities of what a prophet does. Is a prophet just a puppet for God, just speaking the words as God moves the prophet's mouth? Or is the prophet more of a messenger, maybe, delivering a message?
Message for you, sir.
Message for you, sir. Delivering that message as close to the original as possible? Or is there a little bit more room for interpretation? And as preachers, we kind of feel like that's where we end up most of the time, is
thus saith the Lord,
yeah,
and me.
Yeah, right. So anyway, the puppet then is just the way to get people's attention and to start that conversation and see what it is that Jeremiah is being called to be.
Okay. Referenced a little bit earlier in the introduction about Jeremiah saying that God touched his mouth and then put words into his mouth, and then going into the special effect of the puppet. Now we're looking at body, and we can, it's an illustration for body smart. Frequently, if we're in a conversation with somebody and we find them putting words in our mouths, that kind of makes you a little mad. Because two things are happening. One is you're being misquoted, and maybe for reasons that are somebody else's agenda. And secondly, your motivations are being questioned. And essentially what's happening...
Or misrepresented.
Yeah, ooh, yeah, even worse. Generally what's happening is there's a major misunderstanding that's going on when someone is putting words in your mouth or taking liberties with what you have not said. But this is not what God is doing here in calling Jeremiah and putting his hand on Jeremiah's mouth. Maybe what you can do as a special effect is, as this particular passage is being read, is invite everyone to simply touch their mouths, put their hands, put their fingers on their lips, put their hand maybe over their mouth, and to keep it there, and to consider what sorts of words come out of your mouth, and are they words that God has put there? That's a real stopper. That might be something that you could even send home as a self-smart. Consider this the rest of the week. Keep, whenever you touch your mouth, you brush your teeth, floss your teeth, whatever, put on lipstick, put on chapstick, wipe your lips when you're eating. Whose words are there in your mouth? Where did they come from? And what kind of words are they? Ooh, I'm feeling guilty.
And actually, it might be something to do the other way around, too. Anytime that you're finding yourself in a position to speak, first touch your mouth. And
there you go.
So if you're going into
Lord,
a meeting,
put your words in my mouth.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, I like that. That's much better. Let's go with that.
No, both of them together.
The second one feels better. Okay. Anyway, let's move on to nature.
Okay. There's a line at the end of the passage that has God giving Jeremiah authority to pluck up, to pull down, to destroy and overthrow, or to build and plant. And those are gardening images in a lot of ways, or farming images, clearing out the old growth, burning the old leaves and branches and whatnot, pulling down fences and trellises and old sheds that are falling down and what have you, and clearing the way for the new buildings and the new growth for the next growing season. So that might be your illustration there.
Moving on to people smart. Jeremiah objects to being called as a prophet because he says, I'm just a boy. And there's a bit of courage that is needed in children, young people, to get up in front of adults and speak. Ordinarily, sometimes they don't have any problem with that whatsoever. But if it's something that's really deep and it's something that's personal or important, yeah, there's a little bit of butterflies and there's a bit of building up your courage and knowing that I have to say this is important. And what it got me to thinking about that you could use as a special effect in having courage to speak is truth tellers, people who speak truth to power, people who tell the truth about their experiences, people who tell the truth about abuse, maybe people who are whistleblowers. And we kind of brainstormed some popular movies that have been out in the last 20 to 30 years of people who speak up, like Silkwood or The Accused with Jodie Foster or Witness. Milk, Selma, The Insider. There are a lot of movies that are out about people who have needed to find the personal courage to tell the truth, to speak up.
Another people smart illustration might be, and it might blend into being a special effect, if you've ever done any acting or if there's someone in your congregation who has done some acting, to think about the role of the actor as it compares with the role of the prophet. The actor has a script that's given with dialogue written by somebody else, and the actor then has to find a way to make that her own and see, you know, to make it authentic and make it seem like it was her idea. Is that what's happening for Jeremiah? Well, it's a way of exploring prophetic speech, so...
Coming out of the people smart, moving into the self smart, again, the idea of speaking. Ask people in your congregation to think about a time when they were afraid of confronting someone or speaking up. Why were they afraid? What did they wish would happen? And did they ask God to come into that time? And what do you think God's deliverance is like in a situation like that?
Let's move on. The psalm for the fourth week of Ordinary Time, year C, is Psalm 71, verses 1 through 6. The language here is of refuge in the Lord and God's deliverance, that the Lord is a rock and a strong fortress, and the author is looking for the rescue of the Lord from the hand of the wicked and the grasp of the unjust and the cruel. Let's see what we've got here, Molly.
Well, we're starting with iSmart. And a couple of the images, I take refuge and a strong fortress. And I just want to be able to do this in my own worship experience, to take images and use this as a special effect, to take images and project them up into the wall prior to the start of the worship service or during the opening music or at some point in time where everybody's attention is focused, and to project images of refuge, tents, canopies, balconies, awnings, roofs, arbors, anything, any kind of a structure that could be used to protect, to shelter people.
Bird's nest?
A bird's nest, absolutely. If you want to go outside the images of structures, parents holding children, maybe a mama elephant with a little baby elephant underneath her legs. Fortress images, castles, forts, fortifications, a big brother, a big sister, a parent, a group of friends, somebody, any place that you feel safe, any place that you feel secure. Your imagination is wide open on that one. Just kind of keep those two images of refuge and of strength and go at it.
Cool.
See what you come up with.
Very good. For Body Smart, we're looking more at the line about rescue and God rescuing the person from the grasp of the wicked and the grasp of the unjust. By way of illustration, thinking about a literal rescue of someone who has been imprisoned or captive. And there are stories about such things. As we get into the special effects around this, we have a number of resources that we'll point you to in the show notes. But I know there are stories with groups like Exodus Cry that deal with human trafficking.
So literal rescue.
And literally rescuing people who are in slavery, mm-hmm. Modern slavery. Mm-hmm. So there are stories available out there, and we'll have links to several websites that you can have a look at. So literal rescue or metaphorical rescue of folks who are trapped in circumstances or because of their choices. For a special effect here, the idea of rescuing somebody from the grasp of the oppressor, the unrighteous, a literal interpretation of that, enlist a volunteer who's flexible and willing to crawl into a small space, a cardboard box, for example, in the front of the worship space, and just to be there for a few minutes. And during that time, speak about the conditions where people find themselves around the world who are compressed into tight spaces in prisons or factories or slums and human trafficking and so on, and how it literally compresses their bodies. And then ask your volunteer how he's feeling after that experience. And changes.
Did your foot fall asleep? How did you feel while you were
breathe?
In there?
Yeah. Is it harder to breathe?
What's it feel like now that you're out of it? Yeah. Now that you're not being compressed anymore?
Metaphorically, and this could be done in conjunction with the literal experience, and it would be to encourage the congregation just to take a mental inventory of their own bodies and how they feel at that moment, maybe before doing mm-hmm. that discussion, that mm-hmm. Demonstration, check your heart rate. Does it feel normal? Your breathing, your pulse, your muscle tension, things like that. And then as they witness the person in the box, because we have cells in our brains that
are sympathetic.
Yes. You're likely to connect with that experience.
Or maybe your own experience. Maybe this dredges up a memory.
Yeah. And then check again after the demonstration and see how they're feeling.
Their bodies have changed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And be sure to mention, either in your illustrations or in the special effect, that God's rescue is a release from that compression.
Oh, yeah. So there's that part, too.
Yeah.
I forgot that part. Sorry.
Yeah, let's just leave them in the box. Okay, moving on. Let's talk about Music Smart. We have three offerings. Well, you can go the traditional route with A Mighty Fortress is Our God, or there's a contemporary song out. It's not as contemporary as I thought it was. It was actually published in 1980, but for me, you know, it was contemporary at one point in time, called My Hiding Place. But there's also from John Bell and the Iona community.
Yeah, John Bell put out a collection, the Iona community with John Bell directing put out a collection of psalm settings, and it's called Psalms for Patience, Protest, and Praise.
Ooh, cool.
And they've got a setting for Psalm 71, In You, O Lord, I've Found Refuge. And so we'll have links for that in the book and the CD, the accompanying CD. In the show notes.
Okay. A special effect coming out of PeopleSmart, again, connecting it to the Body Smart special effect above. As your participant is crawling out of the box and everybody's taking stock of their bodies, you can give the congregation information about ministries that work with or on behalf of people who are trapped in tiny spaces. For example, there's a website called humantrafficking.org, and it's just a storehouse of ministries and nonprofits that work with and on behalf of people trapped in human trafficking. I mean, it's just page after page after page of links. I mean, you can find something there. David already mentioned Exodus Cry. There's another website called Exodus Foundation, which is about the incarceration of African Americans. And one that we know something about called Wings for Life International. It's a prison ministry for children of people who have been incarcerated. So go check those out and see what you think. They'll all be in the show notes.
For Self-Smart, just a question for your folks to consider. How have you experienced God's sheltering or rescue in your life? And what do you need shelter from or rescue from now in your life?
All right. The epistle lesson for Year C, Ordinary 4, is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13, the love chapter. This is one great big analogy that Paul uses to talk about what love is and how it should guide and shape the life of disciples. There's a lot in this particular passage, and we may just have to do a special podcast on 1 Corinthians 13 sometime to talk about that
specifically. That would be cool. That'd be neat.
But in the interest of time, we have only a couple of things we'd like to start with, and the first thing we're starting with is, believe it or not, math.
Yeah, it's kind of math, physics, so however that works for you, and a bit of eye thrown in. So we're looking at a special effect, and the idea is to compare and contrast love with some of the other behaviors that Paul describes. So what we're thinking is to have a teeter-totter or a balance scale kind of system set up here. So we're going to pile up a bunch of the negative behaviors that Paul is describing on one side and love on the other. And you're going to rig it, of course, so that your scales are unfairly balanced, so that love is going to
outweigh them all.
So you're going to have perhaps blocks like yoga blocks or styrofoam or the flower.
Oh, yeah, that
green
stuff
flower
that you,
stuff
that yeah. falls apart on your finger. Right. I hate that stuff.
Wrap that up and anyway, some kind of blocks and label them with the different behaviors like envy, boasting, arrogance, rudeness, and so on. And stack those up on one side and then have like an actual brick or cinder block or something of similar size that's going to be love that goes on the other side and boom.
Ba-doo, launch everything.
Ba-twing. So that's the that's the middle. It's probably not going to launch, but that's all right. Anyway, that would be for verses 4 to 7. If you want to do the first three verses, then you can do the same thing except with the spiritual gifts, tongues, prophecy, knowledge, faith, giving, and those opposed to love. The second idea would be to use the gifts, and again, we're doing blocks, but this time we're going to make a Roman arch, which is piling up bricks on either side, and they're held together with a keystone in the center, and that's what gives the whole thing the
structure.
The structure and the balances the forces.
It brings balance to the force.
Yeah, as it were. Right. So we've got a couple videos that show how you can make a Roman arch. You can use modeling clay, or you can just cut out or use some blocks, or you can even do it with a potato. You can make a Roman arch out of a potato.
Like you do.
And so we've got a link for that. I don't know if there's a video on the potato one, but...
Oh, man, there needs to be. There needs to be.
Well, maybe we'll do one. So... anyway, the idea is that all of those would fall apart if it were not for love. And
there you go.
There it is.
There's the logic, the math smart there. Well, yep. The music smart, of course, the hymn, Though I May Speak, to the tune of O Wally Wally, or O Wally Wally. Somebody needs to tell us how that's pronounced. But anyway, it's a classic, and it's beautiful, it's lovely. And we have some illustrations for Nature Smart that go with the verse, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And David, you had some thoughts about that one.
Okay, so more physics kind of stuff. This is where my engineering degree finally pays off. So we want to think about materials and not textiles, but any other sort of material that... you can have different kinds of deformation in these materials. That is the way they change when you apply pressure to them. So something can be elastic, plastic, or brittle. If it's elastic, then it's going to stretch or squish, but it's going to return to its original shape.
So like
it's
rubber.
It stores the energy from the that gets put into it
From
the pressure and the stress. And then the energy is... when it's released, brings it back into its original position.
And it sounds just like that,
too. It does, just like that. a plastic deformation involves energy, but it's expended, and it changes shape, and the shape is permanent. Yeah, the change in shape is permanent. A brittle behavior involves failure under pressure because there's a sudden release of the energy in a destructive sort of way. So
it doesn't withstand the pressure.
It does not withstand the pressure. So cracks, breaks, fractures, shatters, all those good breaking words.
got your thesaurus out.
Yeah. So you can talk about that as an illustration, or you can do it as a demonstration. And the reason we're talking about this is that we want what Paul is describing is that love is going to be more like the elastic here, or perhaps plastic, but
definitely elastic. I think probably more. I think probably elastic and sort of the daily living out of love, and maybe sort of the plastic in the lifetime love, because it's eventually formed into be the same kind of love that Jesus has for us. Wasn't that awesome? Thank you.
So to do a special effect, we want to demonstrate the elastic nature of some materials versus brittle nature, and how that's going to be with our love. So to show an elastic property, you could use a Ziploc bag and fill it full of water, and you can deform it, you can bend it, you can push on it, you can roll it around, whatever, and it's fine with all of that, and it'll just be happy to go.
Don't
back.
Put too much water in it, though. It could
right.
pop.
And
it,
yeah, and don't yeah. push too hard, because it will the pop. Bag is plastic after all. So, but anyway, it won't be too stressed out by the stress, as it were. And the brittle counterpart of that, you could use an ice cube or an icicle.
And if you're on the East Coast, you probably have a whole bunch of icicles you could use.
All right, so that's going to be brittle. So if you smack that, it's going to shatter. Right? Same sort of thing with modeling clay as your elastic or elastic plastic. It's actually kind of plastic because it doesn't go back.
Yeah, it
by
doesn't
itself.
Go back. No, it's more plastic.
So both of those are actually kind of elastoplastic, but and then brittle is
the pottery,
is
the fire,
pottery,
the fire clay,
right?
Yeah.
And that would shatter if you break it. So, So there it is. And the demonstration there is to be to show the flexible nature of the love that Paul is inculcating.
Nice. Yeah. Going into using that same particular verse and those same particular images, going into People Smart is an illustration. Talk about the eternal quality of love. And you can do that while you're doing this demonstration. The eternal quality of God's love is it's flexible, not brittle. It's open, but not gullible. It looks forward and doesn't rehearse the past. It holds a lot of stuff that doesn't belong to it, but without any kind of resentment. And so what you could do as a special effect for the People Smart, which could come out of the Nature Smart and the Math Smart, is to consider who in your life has shown these qualities of love, these flexible, elastic qualities of love, and how those qualities shaped your life and how they guide you now. And if it is possible, and this could be your self-smart homework, let that person know. And give thanks to God for that. The gospel lesson for Year C, Ordinary 4, comes from Luke chapter 4, verses 21 through 30. This picks up right where we left off last week. Jesus has told people, today, this, what I have read to you from the passage from Isaiah, has been fulfilled in your hearing. And everybody loves it. They think, oh, their little homeboy, he's so cute, and he's come back, and he's been so wonderful. But then it doesn't end well. As David said, it sort of ends like a Jerry Springer show, with them wanting to throw him off a cliff. We really had a lot of struggle with this particular passage. It just seems like Jesus goes from 0 to 60 in his turnaround with the way the congregation is reacting to him. And he
escalates quickly.
It escalates very quickly, very quickly. So we had some difficulty with that. We wondered why that is. Mark and Matthew mentioned that Jesus comes home to his home place and he's has some experiences there, but doesn't go into it quite like this. So we wonder what was Luke up to? And we're going to start at body. And we're going to encourage you to encourage your congregation to talk about what it feels like in your body when you are enraged. What does it feel like? Your temples pound, your heart races, your face flushes, your temperature rises. It's the fight response of your amygdala, your little lizard brain. It's fire and hard there, and it's
all adrenaline,
and it's not a pleasant experience.
Yeah.
Outrage is sold as a commodity. Seriously.
That's true.
I mean,
think about it.
Yeah. Go on Facebook, see, and notice that. See, you know, if you're getting outraged by something, are you being sold something, or are you really, is this a legitimate reason to be outraged?
And the idea of connecting people with their rage is to connect with people in Nazareth, which might not be the crowd we want to identify with, but it may be the crowd that we are more likely to identify with.
Yeah. Well, because Jesus has specifically poked them and said, I'm not here for you. I'm here for the people outside of you. You know how Elisha and Elijah went outside the boundaries of Israel and did wonderful things for people outside the boundaries of Israel? Me too. And so that could be where, you know, and that's what he uses to poke them with. He turns around and comes back at them with that. And so it's kind of not a surprise that they get angry. Because, you know, here they say, look at Joseph's boy. He's doing so well.
You can't imagine that Jesus would say these things and not expect
some kind of
reaction.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he's trying to get a reaction, but probably not getting thrown off a cliff. Although he seems to be able to handle that.
Yes.
Just walks through the crowd.
Yeah.
Thanks, Luke. Come on. Yeah. Give us a little something to work
exactly.
with.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's, yeah. And again, that's the reason this passage was so difficult is we don't have the clues and we don't have the context that the original hearers did. We don't know why Luke would have made this such an intense conflict.
Yeah.
All we have is the rage.
Not, it's not as intense in Matthew and Mark.
No.
So anyway, people's more, the only way we got out of this circle of exegesis was some insights from Jill Duffield, who was writing for Presbyterian Outlook and talked about this story. And she has a great story about a guest preacher at a homecoming service that she attended for a church that was celebrating an anniversary. And the preacher gets up and he gives a really powerful prophetic sermon and tells the people not only that they're not very good people, but they're not very faithful.
Kind of did what Jesus did.
Very much like what Jesus did. You know, people walking out of the service and not staying for the potluck, for heaven's sake.
Oh my God.
So, you know, that's serious business.
That is.
So a great story, well told, and nice insights. And The insight that she has from all of this is that he ends up saying...
Oh, here it is. Prophets say the right thing at the wrong time because there is never a good time to tell people a truth they don't want to hear.
Right. So Jesus is just bringing it to the people because there's no good time to tell the people in your hometown that they've got it wrong.
Well, she also talks about how it's serendipitous that 1 Corinthians 13, the love passage, is connected to this because Jesus was speaking, well, we assume Jesus was speaking love, but sometimes when you deliver that wrong time message, you deliver it out of love.
Yeah.
God's love, that flexible love.
Right. Right. So there you go. Tough passage. Very hard passage. Good luck.
Let us know how it goes.
You can pull in Jerry Springer in there if you want, because that's kind of the crowd reaction that you get. We had a math idea here, a math illustration. Jesus preaching is like the arithmetic equation. 12 plus 8 equals fried chicken. Because where the heck did that come from? And a visual cue would be
Ron Burgundy.
Ron Burgundy, the meme of Ron Burgundy saying, boy, that escalated quickly.
Yeah, good luck.
So, yeah,
have fun.
May the Lord have mercy on our souls. There we go. Well, that's it for our podcast today. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or our More Than Hearing Facebook page, or tweet us at More Than Hearing, or email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If any of these suggestions sparked an idea for you, please let us know what you did and how it went. We'd love to know how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Be sure to look for the show notes, links, and resources on our website. We publish our worksheets on each text, so you can see some of our ideas that don't make it into the podcast. They could be helpful or give you a spark. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast using the iTunes, Android, or RSS links at the bottom of the show notes, or point your podcasting software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. You can find us on the iTunes store, too. We'll be back with another installment next week. In the meantime,
stay subscribed
and be smart.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.